The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus said. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. On that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as you can see, I've moved to the backside of the Forest City High School facility, where behind me now are some of our wonderful sports facilities. You can see the football field, the track, the scoreboards back there, the stadium where fans have cheered and continue to cheer on their team. It's been a place where our high school seniors have spent a lot of time, and so I thought it'd be appropriate to be here this morning. But I want to ask each of you who have graduated, what's your alma mater? Can you remember your fight song from high school? Renee and I were kind of laughing about this the other day as I was trying to remember ours. The Wildcats sure look sharp tonight, so watch them as they fight, fight, fight. That's right. I was a Wildcat from Woodbury Central School District in Mobile, Iowa. Great place to grow up, to live, to learn, and just to share life with family and friends. And so it's kind of fun to remember those days, and kind of fun to see if you can remember after almost, 40 years or something, remember those the words from the fight song that we probably sang 100 times a year, So it's fun to remember back and to see how those days shaped us and molded us for where we are today. And they do. They shape us. They mold us. They prepare us. And for those who are graduating this spring, you have spent a lot of time preparing. You've spent a lot of time in the halls of your school building and the classrooms there. You've spent a lot of time on the field and the track, perhaps behind me, whether you're in sports or in marching band or whatever it might be. You've spent a lot of time in your academic pursuits. You've spent a lot of time in your sports and music competitions. You've spent a lot of time in plays and musicals and dramas and speeches and other performances. And you've done all of this to develop yourself as a unique individual, prepared for the life that lies ahead. And as you come to the end of your high school career, as you graduate, as you've risen to the top, as you've come to the end of that journey, I wonder, do you feel prepared? I hope that you do. I hope that you feel prepared. I hope that you feel confident. I hope that you feel ready to go and eager to get out there and to, again, pursue more academics or to get into the workforce. Whatever it is you feel God is calling you to do, I hope that you feel ready and prepared because of the experience that you've had in a place like this, with people surrounding you who have loved you and cared for you and nurtured you and coached you and helped to prepare you for the life that lies ahead. But it must be bittersweet for you. You've put in all this work. You've done what it has taken to meet each required benchmark. And now when you get to the end of it, you're proud of your accomplishments, but because of what the world throws at you, this coronavirus, this COVID-19 thing, you can't, you're being cheated out of the fullness of its celebration. And for that we grieve with you. We're hoping that that can come at a little later time, and that you can at least capture in part the joy that we, those people who have cheered you on, those people who have nurtured you and supported you, that we feel and have for you. I want to compare this life, this secular life of learning and growing and education, the striving to be a unique and prepared individual ready to face the future. I want to compare that with your life in the church, with our life in the church. Because the reality is you've come through the church doors. Those of you who are listening to me online, you have come through the church doors once or twice or maybe even three times a week for church or worship and for youth group and confirmation or Sunday school. You've been through all of that, and my hope is that continues, but you've been through worship and baptism and Holy Communion, celebrating and participating in the awesome gifts of the sacraments. You've been to Sunday school. You've been through confirmation. Some of you have been to the youth gathering where 30,000 youth come together for worship and celebrating God and life and the joy that we have through Jesus Christ. You've done all this, but why? Some of you would probably answer because mom and dad say so. I hope that's very few of you. I hope by now, as you're graduating from high school, you've learned to claim that faith for yourself. You've learned to understand that you have a place in the church, that the church needs you, and the church not only blesses you, but invites you in to be a blessing for the world with the gifts that you've learned in a place like this. Have you done all this at the school so that you can develop yourself as a unique individual prepared for the life ahead of you? This is where the divide comes between the secular and the spiritual. In the secular, we are always striving for that next benchmark. We're always striving to meet that next goal. We are always striving to meet the mark, to succeed, to accomplish, to overcome, to take that next step, to be promoted, whatever it might be. But in the Christian world, as 1 Peter talks about in the lesson for today from chapter 3, verse 18, Jesus suffered, Jesus strove, Jesus took the steps to meet the benchmarks that were set before him. Benchmarks that you and I could never meet. That benchmark of the perfect and sinless life. Jesus is the one who strove. Jesus is the one who met that benchmark. The benchmark of the righteous life for the unrighteous. The benchmark of the just life for the unjust. And he did it. He did it, Peter says, to lead you to God. In order to bring you to God, Peter says in his letter to the church. Jesus, the righteous, the just, was put to death for you and me, the unrighteous, the unjust, the unable to meet the benchmark that is set before us. And throughout all of your religious education, we have one goal for you. One goal for our program. One goal for you: to help you love Jesus. To love Him for what He did for you, the un. To love Him for what He did for your neighbor, the un. To love you for what He did for all of creation, the un. The broken. You see, at baptism, at your baptism, you died to yourself. The sinful person you were was drowned in those waters, and you were raised up a new creation. And in that, you were connected with Jesus in a death like His, so that you would also be raised with Him in a life like His. Jesus strove for you. Jesus met the benchmark. Jesus did that so you could have life and have it abundantly. It's a question that haunts me as a pastor, especially at times like confirmations and graduations, when kids are stepping up to and stepping out into. A confirmation time is a time when parents kind of say to their kids, well, you've been through what's required, and now it's up to you. And graduation means that one phase of your life is ending and a new chapter is beginning. And it's going to be up to you. It's going to be up to you whether you continue in that relationship with the church and in that relationship with God. And it haunts me to wonder, have we helped you love Jesus? Because Jesus says in this chapter from John 14, Jesus says that if you love me, everything else comes together. Because if you love me, you keep my commandments. And I know a lot of us hear that when we hear that word, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, as a condition, like, okay, Jesus, now that I love you, I have to live in this little box, and I have to live in this way of parameters and more laws and more rules. But Jesus is saying is, if you love me, you will walk in the way of life that I'm giving to you. You'll walk in the fullness of the gift that I give you. It's not a little box, it's freedom. It's freedom to live who you were called to be, who you were created to be. It's freedom to live in the joy of walking in the rule of God's kingdom. And Jesus has two rules for that. They're two simple rules: to love God with all of your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus knows when we live that way. He knows when we live that way that is when we will find true life, because it's a way of life where we give ourselves to God and we give ourselves to our neighbor. And it's exactly the way that Jesus lived His life. And while it led Him to the cross, while it led Him to suffering and death, it also led Him to the victory of resurrection. And it's true for you and me too. As we give our life away, as we surrender to God, as we surrender even to our neighbor to help them and to love them and to carry their burdens, it's there in that suffering that we find life, suffering for God and for neighbor, that we find true life, that we find resurrection, that we find newness of life. And it's into that life that you and I are called through the gift of baptism. It's a lot like the arenas behind me. You know, there are rules of the road in a track meet. If you stay in your lane, you're going to be successful. You're going to complete the race. If you get out of your lane, you're going to be disqualified. If you're on the football field and you don't follow the rules, you're going to be disqualified. You're going to be penalized. You're going to be set back. And God knows that's the way with life too. If we just live for ourselves, if we live in ways that do not honor God, that kind of life disqualifies us. Jesus says that these these things he's talking about are interchangeable. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You'll keep my way of life. And he also says, if you keep my way of life, those who do that are the ones who love me. And so our actions show, they really do, they show where we stand. They show which lane we're in. They show whose team we're on. If you love me, you will keep my way of life. And if those who keep my way of life are the ones who love me. As we graduate from high school or graduate from college or move from one season of life to the next, there are decisions to make. And there are things to contemplate about our spiritual life. Will we continue? Will we be steadfast? Will we anchor ourselves in Jesus, the one who has anchored us in God, who has led us to God and given us his blessing, his life, so that we can find life? And Jesus says, when we do this, when we love him, and when we strive, and yes, we fail, but when we strive to keep his way of life, he says, you're not going to be alone. He says, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. He says, I'm going to send another advocate. See, Jesus sees himself as an advocate, one who walks beside us, one who walks through life, who tends to life with us. Jesus is there. And Paul talks about that in the letter from Acts. He says that we might strive for God, we might grope for him, and we might find him, but in all of our groping and our striving to find God, he says God is never very far off. See, that's the thing with Jesus. He ascended after his resurrection, but he has given us his spirit. He has given us himself, one that the world can't see, but one that we can see, one that we can know is there, one whose voice we can hear to lead us, one whose voice we can hear to encourage us, one whose word we can read day by day to give us life and direction and remind us of the hope and the promise that we have in God. Remind us that whatever the world throws at us, whether it's a pandemic or a job loss or a failure in our academic pursuits or whatever it might be, in all of that, what the world throws at us, we know that God is bigger than all that, that God is with us, and that God directs our lives, and that God will help us move forward into his way and into his glory. The Spirit is with you as you graduate. The Spirit is with us as we face this COVID-19. The Spirit is with us as the church. Whether we're in a building worshiping together, or whether we're in life, living life on the field or in the classroom or in our workplaces, God, Jesus is with us always to lead us to God. I don't know when or whether it's still around, but Calvin and Hobbes is a cartoon that's been around for a long time. And Calvin was a little boy, and he had his little kind of pretend buddy with him, Hobbes, all the time. And he was always a spirit-filled little boy, and he came into the kitchen one morning, early in the morning, and his mother was in there, and she looked at him, and he had this kind of space helmet on, and he had a cape flowing over his shoulders, down through his back and on the floor, and in one hand he had his flashlight, and in the other hand his baseball bat. And his mom says to him, "What's up today, Calvin?" He says, "Nothing yet." She said, "Nothing yet? Is something coming?" He said, "Well, you never know when something's coming. But," he said, "when it's coming," he said, "something might come today. And if it does, by golly," he says, "I'm going to be ready for it." And as he says that, he leaves the room, and his mom looks straight into the reader's face, and she says, "Man, I need an outfit like that." Confidence, boldness, ready for the future. you have a cape like that. You have the garment of baptism. You have the garment of baptism. You are clothed in Christ, my friends. Whether you're a high school graduate or whatever you're facing these days, you're ready for it because you have Jesus by your side. So go. Go, high school seniors. Go into the world and use your life. Use those things you have learned here to make a difference in the world. Use those gifts to solve this pandemic problem. Use those gifts to bless the world in ways that we can't anticipate yet. Go into the world, my friends. Go into the world and use your lives and your gifts. Use them to bless the world around you. As I stand by the track, I can't help but think about my running days. And I used to wear tennis shoes called Nike Tailwinds. And they were the best tennis shoes that any company ever made, as far as I was concerned. But they were called a Tailwind. With the Spirit, the breath of God, the wind of the Spirit, as you go into the world, let that Spirit be your tailwind. Let it push you and help you and drive you and surround you and keep you and bless you. And always remind you that God is with you, that Jesus is there with you step by step. And let all you do, my friends, be to God's glory. Amen.